Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
You can be around religious people all day, all your life, and get nothing. But when somebody comes along who's living a three-dimensional life where God lives in them and through them, you know something's different. And when you look in somebody's eyes who knows God, walks with God, talks with God, you get around them, you listen, and their life just takes on a whole nother dimension.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is unlike anyone else, where he shares the life-changing message of the gospel in a way that's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. We know that life is pretty challenging these days, but these talks will help you meet those challenges head-on with biblical truth, encouragement, and direction. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellis.com. So, let's jump right in with today's talk. Here is Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is 3D. Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to read through the whole chapter. But I want you to do something if you've got a Bible. I want you to take your Bible and kind of hold it up parallel to your eyes. Okay, everybody hold your Bible up like where you're looking right across the sheet. Now, I want you to look straight across the page as flat as you can get it. Now, I want you to read with me looking at it that way, okay? You can see the page, right? Now, some of you read it like this every day, but anyhow, why is it that the words are there, but why is it that you can't see the words or read the words? It's only one dimension, and you're looking at it, it's from that dimension. How do you take this book and make it come off the page? If you've ever been in a 3D movie with the glasses on, I mean, it's funny to watch adults, but it's really funny to watch kids, because they jump back, because somebody's fist will come off the screen, and it literally looks like the screen is coming at you. It is three-dimensional. It's not just on a flat screen. It's coming your way. And a lot of times, the problem with religion, the problem with church, it's not even that we see it this way. Most people see the Bible closed. And they have a Bible, they see a Bible, maybe they open the Bible and may read the Bible at Christmas or Easter or whenever they read it. But even if you open it and even if you read it and see it, you may not ever really see it like you could see it in 3D, where it comes to life. And the great challenge and one of the frustrations I had for years is, frankly, I got sick of reading the Bible. I'm sixth generation of preachers in my family, Christian home. You're supposed to read your Bible. So I had a Bible, I had tons of Bibles, and I'd open the Bible and I'd read the Bible. But the problem was it was only two-dimensional, and I would look at the words and it would say, you know, things like the thief, talking about the devil, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, I was seeing the words, but it wasn't coming at me. I didn't have abundant life. I wasn't living life to the full. It didn't make any sense. So I'd read all this stuff about peace and joy and love and gentleness and long-suffering, all these things that God could produce in your life and in my life, and I never saw it. I thought, I'm getting sick of reading about stuff that I don't have. So I started getting a little mad at God, a little upset with God. And I'd put the book down and say, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm tired of reading about stuff that doesn't apply to me, that's not happening in my life. I want this thing to come to life. Now, God sent me somebody to disciple me. He sent somebody. I didn't really want anybody because I didn't want to be under anybody's authority. I didn't want anybody knowing what my sins were and my problems were and trying to help. I wanted to change, but I didn't really want to change. And I was kind of happy living in my secret little world doing what I wanted to do. But I got so miserable I couldn't take it anymore. I said, okay, God, I'll let somebody teach me. I'll let somebody help me. And God sent a man by the name of Claude Townsend along, and Claude would open the same book that I would open and get nothing out of. And all of a sudden, it was like somebody put 3D glasses on me, and boom, this stuff was coming out of me. And I'd look at him, and I'd look at the Bible and go, how are you doing this? Because I've been reading the same book you're reading to me, and nothing happens when I read it by myself, but when you read it, it comes to life. What's going on here? And I kind of got excited but frustrated. I thought, well, how's he doing this? It's not magic. And he said, Richard, these words, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, guys, but I could go outside today and rip pages out of this Bible, get a match, and use this as kindling to light a fire. There's nothing holy about this book. If it's so holy and so great, why don't we read it? We protect it. We wouldn't want anybody to desecrate it. Now, we're not going to read it or anything, but we don't want anybody messing with the Bible. You can swear on it and, you know, swear without it, whatever you want to do, but, you know, don't mess with the Bible. It's just ink on a page. And unless you get these words and this book and this truth in your life, living in you and through you, it is nothing but words on a page. And he said, Richard, these words on a page are as dead in this book as Jesus was laying in a tomb. And unless the Spirit of God comes along and raises these words from the dead, the way he raised Jesus from the dead, they're not going to live. They're not going to make any difference. Now, am I saying don't read your Bible? No. But I'm telling you guys, if all you do is go to the Bible and say, okay, well, somebody said I'm supposed to read a few chapters a day. I got that over with. Now I go do what I want to do. It ain't going to work. You got to go to this book and say, Father, it's words on a page. I don't understand this stuff sometimes. And even when somebody teaches me sometimes, I don't understand it. But you wrote it, and I understand that if I'm a Christian, I've asked you to come live in me and through me, that the author of this book now lives inside of me. So when I open it, if it's going to make any sense, you got to make some sense of it. You're going to have to raise it from the dead. And you acknowledge going in that you can't make it work without him. So you open the Bible and you beg God. You say, Father, please let me see truth 3D. And let someone else see it 3D through me. You see what I'm saying? If you start getting something out of this, guys, then when you walk outside and you got something on the inside, people on the outside are going to see what's on the inside of you and go, what's happening? It feels like somebody is coming at them. You can be around religious people all day, all your life, and get nothing. But when somebody comes along who's living a three-dimensional life where God lives in them and through them, you know something's different. And when you look in somebody's eyes who knows God, walks with God, talks with God, you get around them, you listen, and their life just takes on a whole nother dimension. You're aware that they've been with God. They know, they don't just know stuff about God. They know him in their heart and it just oozes out of them. You say, well, I don't want to be that way. Well, you just keep whatever you're doing and see if it works. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Now, in the context of this chapter that we're going to look at and get down to the last few verses, let me kind of start you off before I even reading it. You know what? It is a bizarre deal that we can even talk about these things. The scripture was not meant for us. It's for Jewish people. God's chosen people. You read the Old Testament, it was about Jewish people. They were chosen. They were it. Nobody else. I mean, you know, you might have tried to join up and there were people who did, but basically you were born into this. You know what? It's still the same way. You're born again into this now. It's not by physical birth, it's by spiritual birth. It is an event, a place in time where you say, God, I want in your family. But it is completely, it's okay to us today because we're somewhat used to it. But for a Gentile, which basically most of us are, we are Gentiles come along and saying to a basically Jewish God till the New Testament, we want in on your family. We want in on your deal. I mean, nobody even think about that. And all of a sudden, 2,000 years ago, God leaves heaven in the form of his son, comes down here, lives, and wakes them up and says, you know what? It's not just about Jews anymore. It's about any and everybody who will accept me as their savior and believe that I'm God who's come to live, die, be buried, and raised from dead. It's open to anybody, Jews, Gentiles. And if you go back and read the book of Acts specifically, you see where it starts to change, where it starts to cross over. And these Gentile pagan people who didn't know or care anything about God start accepting this gift of eternal life. And it threw the Jewish people for a loop. Still does today sometimes, because it can be very exclusive if you just stick to the Old Testament. But in light of that, look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason, this is written by Paul to this church at Ephesus, which, by the way, was not a Jewish group. They were pagan, Gentile, out there people. And he says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation or the stewardship of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. He's describing here this mystery that now all of a sudden God says Gentiles are welcome too, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. So Paul had been sent, and if you read Paul in the Bible, he is sent as a Jewish guy, raised Jewish, a great teacher, trained by the best. He becomes a Christian, and God specifically says, Paul, you're going to go to the outcast, to the people who don't think they're welcome, to the Gentiles, who don't think they have a prayer, a wing, or anything. Verse 8, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That basically means there is no end to it. If you open the Bible and you pray and say, Father, show me something from this book, bring it 3D to life, and you get a piece of it, you know what? There's no end to that. You can read the same thing for years. You can go back to this book till the day you die. It will never exhaust the riches, the power, the depth that there is in the Scriptures. It will change your life forever and between here and heaven. So that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. And these are no small words. This passage is packed with stuff. How did everything get created? Through Jesus Christ. And if you want some verses on that, go read John chapter 1, verse 1 and following. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that word, logos in the Greek, means it's Jesus they're talking about. Nothing happens, nothing holds together, nothing's coming or going without Jesus himself. So it's through Jesus who created all things. Verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now, I'm not going to camp on this very long, but here's what happened. God says, I'm going to freak out even the heavens itself. All the angels, all the demons, all the rulers, all the principalities, everything in heaven's going to be shocked because I'm going to leave heaven. Jesus is going to leave heaven. He's going to come to earth. And because he lives, he dies, is buried and raised from the dead, then the thing's going to be opened up to everybody. And God basically says what they never saw coming, I'm going to reveal through the church. So every day the church exists, every day that somebody gets added to the church, somebody who thinks there's not any way in the world God would take me in, but their life is changed, they receive the gift of eternal life, then they are in this family, they are in this body of Christ, and it is a continual amazement. They're angels. You say, well, I don't believe that stuff. Read the book. All through the Old Testament, there's angels. All in the New Testament. I mean, it's replete with this. There is spiritual warfare. And he says right here, I'm doing a lot of what I'm doing to use the church to prove to the principalities, the rulers, the powers in the heavens that this is who I am and this is what I can do. See, angels, in a way, don't have a choice. They serve good or evil. They've seen it all. We live by faith. They live by sight. So he does a lot of this to make known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Now let me tell you something. When you sin and you've screwed up and you've got problems between you and God, the Bible says you have boldness and access to the God of the universe. And you go down, you say, you know what? I have screwed up, but I am still your son. And I know where I stand because not of who I am, but because who Jesus is, and that I am a joint heir with him and everything that goes down. So God, I have messed up, but I'm not going anywhere, because even though I've gone down, I'm not going out, because the farther I get from you, the worse it gets. So I'm saying, Dad, you already know I messed up, but I'm admitting to it, and I know there's consequence, fine, but I'm not leaving, and I'm not running away from you. It's boldness. It's not cocky. It's just bold, and you have access, not because of your own confidence in yourself, but it's confidence through faith in him, verse 12 says. Verse 13, therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, this is why I bow my knees to our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That, and this is a prayer for him and my prayer for you, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. The old you, you know how you feel weak if some temptation comes along and you go, I can't stop doing that. That's just who I am. And the old you kicks in and says, oh, well, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's a lie. You can't find that anywhere in the scripture, just a sinner saved by grace. You are not just a sinner. You are saved by grace. That gives you a new identity. It gives you a new person, a new man, a new woman living within you. And when you understand that, you say, he says here, Father, that you would grant to them strength with your might through his spirit in the inner man. Father, that we would pray this for each other, that we would be strengthened on the inside, the real me, the new me, that I'll be able to stand up to the old me, the wrong me that gets me into so much trouble. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith that you, now look at these words, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And it always comes back to love. Always. This isn't about serving a God with a bunch of rules and regulations. Who he is love, why he came is love. And the whole thing is about doing it because of love. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. And here's where it goes 3D, verse 18. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now let me stop here and just say this. If you are going to be a Christian without love, you are going to be a religious nut. You're going to be some kind of anomaly that can look the right way, dress the right way, smile when it's time. You're going to have to put on some kind of act, but without love, you cannot do the Christian life. And you don't have this love on your own. It has to come from him to you and through you. So it's all about him. You say, Father, I don't love anybody. There are times I don't even want to love some people. You know what? Because I can't love them. So I say, Father, I don't love them. I don't even like this person, much love them. But you love them. So now what are we going to do? He says, well, then by faith, you're going to have to let me love them through you. And so if you'll get out of the way, I'll strengthen you and we'll start loving them like we're supposed to. All right, verse 18 again. He says that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, what this thing looks like. And there is no way really, basically, when you get down to it, to even comprehend it because you can't measure it. Because by the time you think you got a handle on it and your arms around it and you've got a grasp on it, it gets bigger. And you realize about the time I think I love God, I realize how much more he loves me and it doesn't even look like I love him anymore. He loves us more than you can begin. If you're a mom or a dad, you think you love your kids, you cannot even begin to imagine how much God loves you. And that he's not going to give up on you. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He is on your side. So he says there in verse 18 again, he says, I want you to be able to comprehend with all the saints how huge this is. It's three-dimensional. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It is beyond something you can just know about and talk about. And there are a lot of churches, a lot of religious people who say words. They say love words. They give information. But if information doesn't lead to transformation, it's nothing. It's not that it's not truth, but this truth has to come to life. It has to live in you and through you before it's going to impact anybody else's life. And in verse 20 is probably one of the most amazing verses, I think, at least in this passage, if not in the scriptures. I'm going to read 19 and then verse 20. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Then he says this, now to him who is able, and somebody needs to hear this, so listen close and read it if you're looking down. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Now let me ask you something. What's your challenge today? What is it you need done, you need God to do, and you think, you know what, he can't handle this? He says it right here. Now to him who is able to do, first of all, exceedingly abundantly. And if you go look these words up in the original language, it just says, yeah, it just keeps going. It's bigger than you've ever dreamed. It's beyond anything you've ever imagined. And some of you are holding on to relationships, to jobs, to money, or whatever it is. And God's told you to do something with whatever it is. And you said, no, I can't do that. If I lose that, I lose everything. I got to have this. I got to hold on to this. God says, well, hang on, but it's all you're going to get. And all of a sudden, you take that step of faith and you say, Father, I'm terrified. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't see what's going to happen, but I trust you. I'm going to let go. And then this verse kicks in.
to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Whatever you ask for, he can do more than that. Whatever you even think is possible, he can do more than that. You're not going to outgive him. You're not going to go beyond what he can do. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that works in us. And it happens right inside you and through you. You don't have to go off somewhere. People say, I have to go find God, or I go to church and he's at church. No, let me tell you something. You get God, you have a relationship with God. He comes to live in you and through you. Everywhere you go, everything you do, he doesn't leave. He's with you all the time, 24/7. Then verse 21, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, I don't know where you are, what you're going through, what your challenge is. But if you're looking at the scriptures and at life and it feels really flat, it's because it probably really is. And even if you turn it the right way where you can see the words, it's got to be more than just words, guys. It's got to come to life. And only God by his Holy Spirit can take these words and bring them to life. Some of you listening to this message today are going, you know, what's going on inside of me? Why do I feel this way? Why am I thinking these things? I don't want to think about this. It's the God of the universe knocking on your door saying, hey, listen. And the Bible says, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Open your heart. Say, God, I don't know what you're trying to tell me, but I'm listening. My way doesn't work. Your way's bound to work better than mine anyway. And I had no idea you loved me like this. I had no idea you cared about me like this. I didn't understand you literally gave your only son and let him come, be born of a virgin, live as a child, grow up, never marry, die at 33, be buried and raised from the dead for me, to save me. And God, if there's this much and I'm seeing it right now, there's got to be more. I want more. And I want you to help me, Father, through the scriptures, through a church, but somewhere, put me somewhere with some people, Father, where I can see 3D and become a 3D believer. And it makes sense and work out for me like I see it does for them and the way you intended for it to.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
All right, let's pray. And our Father, I thank you so much for your word and that this stuff that we take for granted sometimes is even possible. That you not only chose the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, Lord, but when Jesus came, the thing got opened up to anybody, whosoever will may come. And Father, there may be somebody under the sound of my voice today who says, God, I'm done, I'm through, I hear you knocking, I hear you calling my name, I can't run anymore, I got nowhere to go. And if you'll take me and my stuff and my past and my screw-ups and everything I'm not, and you can take something and make of it something good, Lord, then you can have it. And just simply, if that's where you are, just say, God, I know I've screwed up. I know I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I can't hide anymore. And I believe that Jesus Christ is God, that he came, that he lived, that he died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead to pay my way, to provide forgiveness of sins. And God, I need forgiveness. I'm tired of carrying this load of guilt and shame around. And I ask you to come live in me and through me. I receive this gift of eternal life that Jesus bought and paid for. I thank you for loving me and for taking me in. I pray that you'd not only change my heart, my mind, my life, but that you would use me to make a difference in the world around me, my family, my friends, coworkers, neighbors, wherever I go, wherever you take me, God. Don't leave anybody else living and feeling the way I felt. Let their life be changed as well. And use us as a church, Father, to continue to reach out to people who don't know you, and to those who we do know and do know us, but may just get scattered as sheep, Lord, out there in the paths of life. We love you, Father. We thank you so much for loving us. And again, we acknowledge without you we're nothing, but with you it seems that nothing is impossible. And we do thank you that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ever think or ask. And I pray that we would acknowledge and believe that, Lord, and see your hand move in our lives and in the lives of those around us. For Christ's sake as well as ours, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellis.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, it's the best way to stay up to date with all the audio and video talks with Richard, post on the prayer wall, how you can join the team, and even a place where you can ask any questions you have to get straight biblical answers. Check it out, richardellis.com. Finally, we're grateful when you help us with the cost to bring you this program. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website richardellis.com. That's 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Until next time, thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.